Begin the current daf, Masech the Baba Basra, daf Nun Hei. Begin 8 lines down at the top of the Yamad. The Gemara continues in a related discussion from the previous daf, which we were talking about this concept of Shmuel, that Dina de Machus Adina, so it's on that theme that the Gemara continues. Amar Rabba, he says, Hani Tlas Mili, these following three halachas, Ishtoi Li, were told to me by Ukvin Bar Nechemya Rish Galusa, that was his name, the Ukva Bar Nechemya, who is the head of all the people in the diaspora, Mishmei de Shmuel, name of Shmuel. One of them, which we mentioned in the previous daf, and then there are two ancillarily. There are two that are related to that. Which the first one is dina machus dina, the law of the government is law. Which the Gemara actually in the end of Baba Kama Kof Yud Gimel Mabez says and proves that we hold like that lamaisa, because the government cuts down trees from other people's properties and makes bridges, and we actually go over those bridges and we use it. Obviously, we hold that the government has that right to institute certain laws, which could be and translate it as theft, but the government's law is law, and therefore we use the public property of the government. Second halacha that Shmuel said was v'arisusa de parsoi ad memshnin. The chazaka, for someone to have a chazaka in Persia, it's 40 years based on the laws of the government. In other words, although that the person who bought, generally we say can only buy with a document, however, if the non-Jew who the Jew is buying from had already had a chazak, he's been on this property for over 40 years, and then a Jew comes and buys it from him, it's going to be considered a full-fledged kinyan. And the chiddush in that is that another Jew cannot come along and say, hey, with that property you're buying from that non-Jew, I want you to know this guy stole it from me years before, this is my property. Now, although the Gemara says in the Aflam HaHemad Beis that if a Jew buys from a non-Jew, he has the same halacha like a non-Jew, and therefore he can never establish a chazakah, just like a non-Jew could not establish a chazakah. Rather, he needs to have documentation that it was sold, and only then could he buy from a non-Jew. That's the chiddush of Shmuel, that in Persia, there it's different, because that's the din machus, that's the law of the government, that if you've been there for already 40 years, that gives you the ownership, and therefore if a Jew buys from a non-Jew, another Jew cannot come along and say, hey, this was my property. It doesn't make a difference, that's the law of the government. Now, if someone had it for 40 years, it is the non-Jews, and therefore I could buy it from him, and it's mine. Or a different interpretation is that what it's coming to say is that although generally in other places a Jew can establish a chazakah, which is the topic of our parag, where if he's been on the property for 3 years uncontested, that's a chazakah. But in Persia, a chazakah cannot be less than 40 years. Because again, that's the law of the government, that it doesn't prove anything if you've been there 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 40 years. That's the government's statutory, that's their standards that they said it has to be 40 years, and then that established a chazakah. And the third halach is Vahani Zaruri, these wealthy landowners, the Zavin Aru Lataska, that they buy from the servants of the king, from the people in the government, they buy the fields of the poor people who weren't able to afford to pay the taxes to the government. Now, then these wealthy landowners come and they pay the taxes, and then they take possession of the land because of the tax that they paid of it, because that's actually the Dina de Machuz, that's the law of the government, that whoever pays the taxes of that land gets to consume the produce of that land, as we said in the previous daf. So, regarding these wealthy landowners that buy these lands, Shmuel said, Zavinu Zavini, that their sale is a valid purchase. In other words, this, that they bought the land from the servants of the king because of the tax that they're paying, and therefore they get the land, that is a valid sale. And again, that's because that's the Dina Machutz Adina. And therefore, if let's say the original owners will come back, or if they become wealthy and they're going to say, here, we'll pay you up the taxes that you paid for us, but give us back our land, they cannot contest on these wealthy landowners because that's a valid sale and they get to keep the land that these people forfeited by not paying the taxes. So therefore, again, those are the three things. The first one is Dina Machuz Adina in general. Then you have these two subsidiaries, which is by the chazaka of the Persians, and these wealthy landowners that buy these lands, where again, they're both contingent on this concept of Din Machuz Adina, which are these three halachas of Shmuel. Now, regarding this last halacha that said that these wealthy landowners that buy the land, they could keep it if they pay the taxes, so that qualifies the Gemara and says, V'hani mili, when did we say that their sale is a sale? That's if they bought it because of Lataska, because of the land tax that on this land itself that the owner didn't give, then the government could confiscate the land and give it to whoever pays the taxes. And that's valid, according to halacha, says Shmuel, based on Dina Machuz Adina. Aval Charga. But if let's say it's because they didn't pay their head tax, which are a totally different tax, which because of them, they said, hey, you're not paying this tax, we're going to take your land and sell it, and they sell his land, Then says the Gemara, then lay. Then that's actually not a valid sale, because that's not the din machusa to collect land because of a head tax. It's only because of the land tax. If you don't pay the tax on the land, you have no right to the land. Then if they could sell it to someone else, and then he gets to keep it. But if it was done for a head tax, then not. My time. What's the reason, says the Gemara? Because charga, the head tax, a karkev de gavri manach. That's only on the head of the individual. So either they grab a hold of him and imprison him until he pays up, or he runs away from the city. But this has nothing to do with his land, and therefore, says the Gemara, this doesn't give the government any right to sell this guy's land, and if they do, it's not a valid sale, and if the guy comes back and wants to pay up his taxes for his head, he'll get his land back. Now, Rav Huna Barid Bishuam, he disagrees. He says, Afilasari, even barley that's already been ripped out of the ground, and it's placed, the kada, it's in a jug, where he's saying a chiddush, but obviously he's trying to say that for sure, if it's even on still connected to the ground, if regarding land itself, everything is mishtab l'charga. Everything actually is indebted and has a lien on it for his head, for his head tax. And therefore what he's saying is that it doesn't make a difference if the government sold this guy's land for his land tax or for his head tax. Zvinah zavin there would be a valid sale, because that is the din machus adina. When he says sar de kadi, which is a jug full of barley, what he means to say is even movable items, whatever property, whatever assets he has, no matter where it is, are all indebted to the king because of his head tax. And if he doesn't pay, then everything he has is indebted to pay up his head tax. And therefore, whoever buys from the servants of the king, whether it be this guy's land or his movable properties, that is a valid sale, because that is included in Dinah Mechaz Adina. Now, based on this opinion of Huna Bar Yeshua, so Amar Vashi says that Amali Huna Bar Nasan, Huna Bar Nasan told me that Kashi Ba Amemer, Amemer had a problem, it was challenged with this opinion of Huna Bar Yeshua. He says, Im Kain, if that's the case, that even a jug full of barley is meshubit, is indebted to this guy's head tax, then how are you ever going to fulfill what it says in the Pasuk in Devarim Chaf Aleph regarding the inheritance of a father who passed away? It says that whatever that he has at that moment is going to be the criterion for the inheritance. Now, the problem is, in this type of a government, which you're saying that whatever the head tax, a person doesn't pay up, everything is indebted, even his land, even his movable items. So then says Amemar, Betalta Yerushas Benoi Habachar, essentially you have just voided the whole concept of the firstborn son getting a double portion. Now, what's the reason for that? Because every part of the money of that the father has, no matter what it is, land, movable items, if he dies, and he didn't yet pay his head tax for that year, which is every year, you know what ends up happening? The Havale, that makes his money into what's called ro. It's fit, it's potential his money. Why is it only potentially his money? Because actually, the only one that is muchzik at that moment on all the father's assets is the king. Because the king's lien that he has in property is more than just a regular lien. It's like it's already collected. It's all indebted to him for this guy's head tax. As we said, if a guy doesn't pay his head tax, all his property, no matter what he has, is all indebted to the king. Now, Rashbam points out that this is not such a difficult question, because the Gemara could say, you're right. In that place, where that's how the government works, then this halacha will be voided. But anywhere else, where it works with different law, Jewish law, then of course you'll be able to establish that the pasuk will then give the firstborn son a double portion, because it'll be that the father is muchzik in this property, then not only ro'u, which is potentially to be his, meaning because although the father owns it, but let's say the father had a loan out somewhere. That's not something that he has right now. It's potential. In 5 years, it's going to be paid back to him. That's the halacha of ro'u. So the Gemara is saying that based on this halacha of Rav Huna Bar Yeshua, that everything the father has is indebted even to the head tax every single year. If he didn't pay his taxes yet, so then really nothing is owned by him yet. It's potentially his, but the king has a lien on it that's more immediate than even the ownership of the father. And the problem then becomes, the firstborn son does not take what is fit for the father to get, meaning that's owed to him or potentially to him. It's only what he's actually right now in possession of it, like the pasuk, whatever is here right now, now it's ultimately going to mature and then come to him. So then the firstborn is never going to take a double portion, because a father, if he didn't pay the head tax, is never muhsik in his own property. So how do you understand the halacha of Bukhari according to this halacha of Rav Huna Bar Yeshua? So Amalei, so Ravashi asked on this question of Amema. that ihachi, if that's the case, that this is what Amemer was bothered by, this was his question, that, oh, wait a second, according to this opinion, how are you ever going to have the firstborn getting double portion? So ask back Rav Ashi, well, the nafilo taskinami, then even when we say regarding the land, when we said that everyone agrees, that if you don't pay the land tax, that then the land is meshubit to pay up your land tax, and that's why everyone agreed that then if it was sold to someone else, that would be a valid sale. Well, then essentially in that case too, you have voided regarding the firstborn's rights to get a double portion in his father's land, because there too, the land is not the father's. So you're going to tell me that a firstborn who's supposed to get a double portion of everything, including the land, but in the land tax, if the father didn't pay up, the firstborn's not going to take it, because there you say everyone agrees, not only Rav Huna ben Yeshua regarding what he's saying regarding the head tax, land tax, everyone agrees the land is meshubit to the government. So Elamais l'chol ha'meimer. So rather, says Rav Ashi, so what would you have to say, what would be a situation of, even regarding the land, that it would not be voided the halacha of a firstborn getting a double portion? You would have to say, Estoma diyov taska, in such a situation where he gave the land tax of that year in the beginning of the year. And then umis, and then he died. So since he gave it in the beginning of the year, up until the end of the year, none of his properties are meshubit to the government because only once a year. So he already paid up the land tax for that year, and therefore then he is a muchzik in his own property. And then the firstborn will take a double portion. So, and that's a Rav Ashi. So hachanami. So the same thing's over here. It's not a difficult day on Rav Huna ben Yeshua. Do you have charga or miss? It would be talking about when would you have the luck of the firstborn getting a double portion, as if the father gave the head tax already for that year, and then he died. So then it's not ro, then he's actually muchzik, and then that would be where the halacha would pertain. But you're right, if he didn't pay it up, then it would be ro, and then the firstborn wouldn't get a double portion. But it's not a contradiction for how do you have the halacha of Bechar getting a double portion. Another halacha from Amma Rav Ashi, he says, Amali Hunabarnasan. Hunabarnasan told me that Shiltinu Lisafri de Rav. He said that I asked the scribes of Rava, V'amruli, and they told me that Hilchasa Rav Huna ben Yeshua, the halacha is like Rav Huna ben Yeshua, which we just quoted his opinion before, that everything that a person owns, movable items, barley in a jug, land, it's all indebted, there's a lien in it, for the charge even for the head tax, whatever, if a person doesn't pay up, everything that he has is indebted to that. Now, and therefore that's what we had said the halacha would be, that if someone else bought, no matter what this guy owns, from the government who is selling it to pay up his head tax, it would be a valid sale. Says the Gemara of Allahi, but it's not the case. The halacha is actually not like Rav Huna ben Yeshua, and it's not true that neither his land nor his movable items are meshubit, are indebted for his head tax. And if it was sold by the government to pay for his head tax, it's not halachically sanctioned as a valid sale, because regarding the head tax, that's only, not on his properties, that's only on the individual that obligation is placed. Now, but says the Gemara Hasam over there, meaning the scribes of Rava, that they did say the halacha is like Rav Huna, that was only because lo'ukmi mil sehuda amra. They were just trying to establish and validate and sanction what they themselves had already done, because they have already written documentations regarding the sales of properties which were sold by the government to pay up an individual's head tax. And they were coming to say, oh, because it was mishubit to the head tax, because they wanted to have that their sales and their documents are going to be valid. But that's what the Gemara is telling us, it actually was done inappropriately. And although that they wrote documents and the lands were sold, actually it has to be undone. That was not an appropriate sale. We do not halachically sanction that type of a sale. Another teaching on this, on these topics from Vamr Vashi, he says, Pardacht, a person that's idle from work, from learning, from normative social practices, this is somebody that doesn't involve himself with anything. He doesn't do anything at all. Still says Rav Ashi, Misaye Masa, he has to assist and he's responsible to take upon the yoke of joining the community's communal obligations. Even though he's not making any profit in the city, he still has to contribute. Now, but says the Gemara, Bahanamili, when did we say this, that he has to assist with, let's say, the taxes of the community? That's only if Datsilte Masa, if the city had saved him. In other words, if the servants of the king were coming and claiming and trying to get out of this guy to pay up money, taxes to the government, and the community saved him. And they made his load lighter by claiming to the government officers, saying, what do you want from this guy? This guy doesn't have any money. Now, because they did that to assist him, the taxes on the community was then made more and more challenging. Because the way it normally works is that the king would take a set amount of taxes per year, and then they come and go to each individual according to how much they evaluate his worth, until they, from that whole total, or the way they split it up, the king will get exactly the amount that he wanted from this community. Now, what happened was is that they were over-assessed and were asking from this individual, this guy who doesn't do anything, more than what he could afford. So the community members were saying, what do you want from this guy? Leave him alone, he doesn't have. Now the thing is, because they saved him, now that they made it less for him, but they still have to fill that quota. So now they're going to collect more from the rest of the community members. So that's what the Gemara says, that's what Rav Asher was saying. So then he has to help out the community, because the reason why he was saved from paying was because of them. Now they have more responsibilities, so he's got to help out. Avalan diski, but says the Gemara, regarding the king's officers that are usually the ones that go to collect from every single house and every single person until they collect the set amount that the king wants from this community. Now, if let's say they forgot to collect from this guy, or they didn't want to ask him anything because they realize this guy is a loafer, he has nothing, he doesn't do anything. So they thought he didn't have any money. Now, because of that, they still got to fill their quota, so then they go and collect more from the rest of the people in the city. So though because of this guy, everyone else in the city is paying more taxes according to what he should have paid, still he's exempt from having to assist the community to pay up the communal tax. And the reason for that is because Yata Dishmai, it's a heavenly assistance that he had that they forgave him, which is that it wasn't that the community interceded. Yes, they're going to have to pay more because he doesn't have, but that's not his fault. That's from heaven that they led it that way. And therefore, since he doesn't make any money in the city, he does not have to help and assist and provide for the community to pay up the communal tax. Now, I think we'll return to the topic of the previous daf, which we were talking about in the previous daf, and the halacha of Nichsi Hager, which was the topic of the end of our Mishnah, which spoke about that if the convert dies without any children, so then if someone wants to take possession, which he's allowed to, he has to do certain chazakas. So on that we said that if you have to go ahead and do a chazaka on that property that you're being machzik on, and then you could go ahead and acquire a kinyan on it. So on that halacha says, Amar Avasi Amar Birichim, and he says, Hameitzar. If let's say there's two fields of the convert, and there's a boundary between the two fields. So if someone goes and does a chazaka on one of the fields, he does not acquire the neighboring field, rather only the one that he did the chazaka on, only that one he would acquire. And this is like Rabbi Yisrael Chanina said in the earlier, which actually argues on Daf Nun Gimel Beis has it, Rav Asi said in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, that this halacha where if they're separated, that only what you did the chazaka on will acquire, but not the neighboring one. Now, the truth is, says the Gemara, that even if there was no boundary, but if let's say there was this thing called chatzav that was planted between these two fields, that is also, as the Gemara says, v'chatzav will also separate between the two fields. Now, chatzav is a tree or some type of a grass which Yeshua had used to set boundaries in Eretz Yisrael. And the reason why he used that specifically was because its roots go straight down and it doesn't nourish from either sides. We actually, as the Gemara says in Beit Dav Chafeim HaBeis, that this chatzuva, this tree, what it does is it cuts off the feet of the wicked, because the wicked, they do what's called hasagas gevul, they go out and take over from their neighbor's boundaries. And this tree shows the lesson that you're not supposed to, they don't take from any side, they just take from right on the bottom of them, their nourishment. So either a boundary or this tree, mafsikim enichsa ger, it separates the properties of the ger. So since it's considered a separate field, because this thing is separating, so if you do a chazak on this field, it will not automatically give you the other field, you have to do a chazak on that too. Aval but says, Rav Asi Amar Rabbi Yechanan, that le'inyan peya v'tum aloy. But regarding the halacha of peya, which is that by every field you have to leave the corner of the field for the poor to take, or for tumma, which are laws of ritual impurity, there, a boundary or this chatzav tree would not be a separation to consider as two different fields. Rather, in regards to halacha of peya, you could leave one corner for both of these fields, since they're contiguous, they're near one another, albeit having a boundary in between. And the reason for that is because biblically, a boundary does not separate between a land that's attached to it to obligate in two different payas. We consider it as one large field. However, that's what Rav Asher Meirchen was saying, but regarding the halachas of chazak, of being machzik in something, that's enough if we're going to say if you're going to go ahead and dig in one field, that you'll acquire just that one field. The reason for that is because actually we learned in the previous daf, on the previous daf, that even by when it's one field, there was an opinion that says you're only going to acquire the place where you actually dug. And you're not even going to get the whole field, just in the actual place where you dug. For sure, when there's two different fields, according to everybody, you're not going to acquire only what you actually did a chazakah. And that's a svar, it's logic to say that you need to do a full-fledged chazakah and acquire in the entirety of the fields. And therefore, even if you just have something as simple as a boundary, which in other halachas don't separate, but regarding chazakah, then it would separate. Now, what is this halachic significance of pay and tumah regarding a hefzik that the Gemara is going to explain what's the difference between one field or two fields? But first, the Gemara brings a different opinion. Ki asa Ravin Amr Rabbi Yechanan, although we had Rav Asi saying in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, when Ravin came, he said a different opinion in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, that it is going to separate afil lepeya v'tumah. That even in the regards to halach of peya and tumah, that why is it any different than chazakah, that a boundary will separate it and make it into two different fields. So now that we have this machlekes, the Gemara now clarifies, peyamahi. Regarding what would we say that a hefsik would create a difference in halacha regarding the halachas of pey? So now the Gemara says, it's not like we learn the Mishnah Masechta Peya, that a hefsik, if there's a separation, it would obligate it as a separate field, and you would have to make another peya, another corner in that other field. As the Mishnah teaches us, ve'elu mafsikin lepeya, these things separate as if it's two different fields, to require a separate peya on each one of these fields. They are hanachal, which is like nachal esen, which is that place where they would make the egla rufa, which is that it's you can't work it, you can't plant it. It's very hard ground that's full of pebbles and stones, which you can't plant over there. So we don't view it as part of a continuation of the field because it's like a deeper area sometimes. It's just you can't work it, so that's like a separation. And Vashlulis is a place where rainwater gathered, which actually the Gemara in Perek HaKainis and Baba Kama says, where's the word shlulis? What does that mean? So Rav Yehuda Mishmul says it's a word of gathering. It's where the rain gathers. Rabbi Bibi said that it's a amasamayim, it's a stream of water, which the word shalul is that it shears its spoils over its banks. But either way, it's like a type of a gathering of water, where again, it's not considered part of the field, it's like a separation. As we continue to Medbeis, v'derech harabim and a public road, which is 16 amas wide, or v'derech hayachad, or even an individual road, a private road, which is just 4 amas, which all these opinions are saying what's called loizu avzu, meaning not only this, but even this would be separation. And even this, as it continues, v'shvil harabim and a public path, which it's called a path, not a road, because there they go, the public goes with their feet, whereas a derech harabim is where they go with their horses and their wagons. And again, these are all more chedushim, one after the other, saying that even this is considered separation. And v'shvil hayachad, even a private path, which hakavu, as long as it's established, beimim ma'isachama, beisach gishamim, whether in the summer months or the winter months, meaning that even in the winter months, where people many times don't go on certain paths in fields, for example, because then there's things that are being planted. On this path, they do go because there's no plowing or planting. So then again, that's not part of the field. That is going to be. All these cases are a separation. So that's what we're saying, that this ramification, if we consider this chatzuva or this boundary as a separation, which was the machlekes in Rabbi Yechon's opinion between Rav Asi and Ravin, that will be regarding this significance, as we find there are certain things that will separate, and then you'll consider a separate field to require a new peya. Tumamai, what was their machlekes regarding tumma? What would be the ramification of having the halachas of tumma regarding if it's a separate field or not? And I think Gemara says it's not like within the Mishnah Masechtas Tahiris, which the significance is going to be according to Rabbi Lazar, who says that there is a significance if we consider it as a separate field or not, as the Gemara explains. Where the Mishnah says, "Hanichnas labika b'meisak sham." If someone goes into the open fields in the winter months. Now, regarding the halachas of tumo, we're going to consider that area as a rishus hayachid, as a private domain. Now, regarding the halachas of tumo, a suffic tumo, if there's a doubt if there's tumo, in rishus haram, we generally assume that you'll be tahar, and the Gemara elsewhere learns this out, the source for this halacha. And in a private domain, the suffic tumo will be tame. Now, in the winter, those open fields are considered a private domain, meaning it's off marks. Most of the people do not walk in there. And the reason for that is because people don't walk there because they don't want to ruin what's being planted, which is through the winter months. So therefore, there the suffix is going to be generally tame. Now, but there's more sophistication in the case. because v'tum besod the plainest. So that was in all the wide open fields. They're all considered rishus yachid. Now, in a specific field, there was tuma. Now, v'amar, and the guy who walked in the area says, halachti l'makom alaz. I walked into that bika. Call it a valley, call it an open expanse of fields, call it the plains, whatever it is. He went to this general area of these fields. But he said, "V'eini yedeh, but I don't know. Im nechnasti lo isim makim imlam. But I don't know if I went to that specific place, to that specific field. If I went to that field, and then I went where the let's say the grave is, where this tomb over there, so then I became tomb. But I don't know if I went even to that field. I went to those fields. I don't know if I went to that field specifically. So Rabbi Elazar matar. Rabbi Elazar says he'll be tahar out of the doubt. V'chom matar. V'chom says he's going to be tummy. Now the reason why the chamim hold that you're going to be tummy is because ultimately at the end of the day, who cares if there's one field or there's two fields? It's still one suffix. Maybe he went to where the grave is and he leaned over it, which he was mal on it. He was like a oil over it, which then he becomes tummy. And maybe he didn't go, but ultimately it's a suffix if he became tummy and it's in rishus hayachid. So then he's going to be tummy. But Rabbi Elazar said he's going to be tar. Is why? Shaul Rabbi Elazar, because Rabbi Elazar said the following distinction. It says, Safik Bia, where a person's in doubt, if he even entered into the area of that field. Now, because even if he did enter into that field, there's still another doubt. Did he go all the way to where the grave was, where there's tumma, or not? So that's essentially what's called a Svek Sveka. A, did I enter into that field? And even if I went into that field, did I go to where the tumma is in that field? So that, says Rabbi Elazar, is going to be tar. Now, but if there's only a suffix maga tumah, let's say he's only in doubt if he touched the tumah, meaning it's obvious that he knows he went into that field, but he just doesn't know if in that field did he touch that grave or not. Well, that would be only one suffix, and then he's going to be tummy. Then he's going to be tummy. Now, so therefore, that's what the Gemara is saying. According to Rabbi Elazar, if you have that the boundary or the chatzuva tree would be considered a hafsik between and make it into a separate field, and there's tumah in one of them, which again we said that's dependent on the machlekes in the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, two different versions, if that is going to be a hafsik or not, but what's the halachic relevance? If there's tumah in now one of these fields, again because we're considering them two separate fields, because if you say that it separates, and now he doesn't know which one of the fields he went into, so that would be called the coin triple yazer suffik bia. You don't know if he even entered into the field in the first place, then you'd be tar, because that's a svek sveka. A double doubt, we say that you're tar. So, A, did you go into that field? And if you went into the field, did you touch the grave? But if you say, like the other opinion, that the boundary does not separate between the two of them to make them into two different fields, so we view it as one big field, that is suffik maga, that's only one suffik. Did you enter in? You entered into the field, because we're considering it was one field, but did you touch the grave? Oh, so that's suffik maga, not suffik bia. Since we consider it as all one field, then there would be a suffik tumah shasa yachid, and you would be tummy. So therefore, that there is a huge ramification if we consider it, according to Rabbi Eliezer's opinion, as one field or as two fields. Now, the Gemara makes a diuk. According to Ravin's version of what Rabbi Yechanan said, that he said, no, it's not true. It's not only regarding the halachas of chazaka that will view chatzuva and the meitzar as a separation, making them into two different fields. But he said, even regarding the halachas of peya and of tumah, which we just explained what those halachic ramifications would be. But the Gemara makes an inference even from that. But it sounds like, okay, fine, you'll say it by chazaka, you'll say it by peya, you'll say it by tumah. Aval Shabbos loy. But regarding the halachas of Shabbos, that you did not include, for that, the boundary or the chatzuba would not make a separation. So if, let's say, you have the public domain, Rishus HaRabim, and in between, in the Rishus HaRabim, there's a boundary separating one side of the street and the other side of the street. Or if you have these chatzubas planted, cutting off these two halves of Rishus HaRab. And then an individual takes a half of a dried fig into one Rishus HaRab from his house, and then afterwards he goes and takes another, a second half of a dried fig out of his house into the other street, then he would be chayef. Because as we'll shortly see, even according to Rabbi Yasi, who says that you're exempt when you take out from your Rishus HaYachid, your private domain on Shabbos, which is the Isser Malach of Haitzah, into two Rishus HaRabims, that you're going to be Potter, here you're going to be Chayiv. Why? Because that's what the Gemara is inferring from Ravin's opinion, that the boundary does not separate them into two different Rishus. So we can consider it as one Rishus HaRabim. So then you'll be Chayiv. Now, the reason why we're mentioning dried figs is because Masechta Shabbos, the Mishnah, teaches us that the isra of malach of itzah, of transporting from one domain to another domain, if it's a food item, is only going to be chayiv the size of like a dried fig. Because on Shabbos, the isur of malacha has to be what's called a malachas machsheves, something significant. And it's not considered a significant thing of taking out a food item if it's less than the measurement of a dried fig. So that is what the Gemara is inferring, that from Ravin you could see that, okay, but regarding Shabbos, you're not going to say that this boundary is going to separate the street into two different streets, and rather we'll view it as one big street, and then everyone will hold that you're going to be chayiv. And it's not going to be considered as two different Rishus Rabbins, which then, according to one opinion, if you take one half into one half the other, that you'll be potter. But Rava Amar, he says, no, afila in your Shabbos. In regards to halachas of Shabbos, the, if you have this chatzuva, or if you have this meitzah, this boundary, separating the street, where if you didn't have that boundary, it would be one big street. But you have the boundary. Says Rava, even regarding Shabbos, we view it as two different streets, and therefore, since they're separated, you didn't take it out into the same domain, and therefore, since you didn't take the requisite share of being chayiv, you did some total the share, but they were two different reshuyas, and therefore, then you're going to be potter. The Tanakh learned a brisa. This halacha is that hitzi chatzi gregris l'shus haram b'necho. Let's say someone takes out a half of a dried fig into the public domain, and he puts it down over there. But you have to do what's called nakira, picking up, and hanocha, putting it down. Then v'chazav hitzi chatzi gregris acheres. Then he goes out again the second time. Again, another half of the share, taking a half of a dried fig and bringing it down there. So, says the Braisa, Behela mechad, if it was done in one lapse of awareness, meaning he didn't realize that it's Shabbos. And he takes out, he's holding a half a dried fig, he walks outside, puts it down, goes back out, again, another half a fig. Now, the reason why it has to be one lapse of awareness is because what's called yediyas mechalekes. Awarenesses divide things, they separate, it makes it into a separate act. If he would notice in between, then we wouldn't be able to join them two together. But it was in one lapse of awareness. Then says the Tanakhama, so chayiv is going to be chayiv because they both combine into one act. So although each one was less than the share, but you weren't aware, and we'll view it as one act, and therefore you ultimately ended up taking out to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim a whole share of a Gregor's. But Bishnei Halam is Pater. If it was in two different lapse of awareness, meaning you took out a half, and then you're like, oh, it's Shabbos, I can't believe I did that. And a few hours later, again, you do it, and it's like, oh man, I did. So then it's not going to combine, then you're going to be potter. Rabbi Yisar, he says, another qualification, he says, Behelam Echad, in one lapse of awareness that the Tanakam was saying you're going to be chayiv, says Rabbi Yisi, it depends, as you continue to have the Nevov Meralev. If it's Bishus Achas, if the public domain that he had originally taken out the first half of the dried fig, it's in that same street that he then takes out the other half in the same lapse of awareness, another half of a dried fig, then says Rabbi Yisrael, I'll agree to you that you're going to be chayiv. But b'shtei reshuyos, if it's in two different public domains, which are a separate one from the other, to two totally different streets, then actually putter is going to be exempt. And the reason for that is because not only do different laps of awarenesses separate, different domains separate. We cannot consider it as a connection, as one big action, when there are two different domains. Now, so it's regarding that halacha that we were discussing, if regarding Shabbos, would we view this chatzuva, which that the Gemara was being medayik from Ravin, that it would not separate, and Rav was saying it would separate. Now, says the Gemara, V'amar Rabba, so in explanation of this opinion of Rabbi Yisi, that two different Rishuyas are going to separate, so there's a machlokes regarding how to qualify that, how to define that, what's considered a separate street. So Rabba says, it's only if you have a chattis obligation between those two streets. What does that mean? Meaning that there is a private domain, someone's house, separates between the two streets. Now, where if you would take out from that house to those streets, or from those streets into that house, you'd be chayv a carbon chattis, because you went from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, which is the biblical violation of Beitzah. That's considered a separation to make the streets into two streets. Av karmelis, but let's say there's just like a open field that separates between the two streets, then says Rabbah, that light, that wouldn't separate the two streets into two different streets, because biblically, that karmelis, although rabbinically you're not supposed to carry from a karmelis, which is some type of intermediate type of area, where it's not a private domain, neither is a public domain, but biblically, we view it as batel to the public domains, as part of the, it's not considered a rishus ayachid, to have the violation. So that says, Rab, but that would not separate, and then we would view it, even according to Rabbi Yisi, as one reshutz, and that you would be chayiv if you take out two halves and one lapse of awareness. Abaye Alma, he says, no, even more. He says, no, afilu karmelis. Even if there's a karmelis separating, it would be considered to make into two different shuyas. Aval pisla, but let's say there's just a piece of wood or some type of a beam that's not 10 tfachim high and 4 tfachim wide, or even if it is 10 tfachim high, but it's not 4 tfachim wide, which makes it into what's called in halacha makam ptur for Shabbos halachas, where even rabbinically you're allowed to carry from that area into the public domain and from the public domain into that small piece of wood, so too from the private domain into there and from there into the private domain. So since it's totally butl and secondary to any domain that it's neighboring, even rabbinically there's no problem. So then, since it's not considered a significant area of Fort Fachim, so therefore, there says Abai that loy. There I would agree to you that that's not going to be a hafzik. But a Carmelist would be considered a hafzik. Now, Rava Amar, who that's the opinion that we're quoting over here, he says, afilu pisla, even just a piece of wood, where let's say they don't want people to go from one street to the next, just to cut it off, but it's just a piece of wood, that would separate the Rishuyais, that these streets into separate streets, to exempt from the obligation of Chiv Shabbos, because it's not any less than what Rava himself had just said before, than a boundary, or from a chatzuva, from this tree. So therefore, it says Rava, that would be considered significant to separate it into separate Rishuyas to be Pater according to Rabbi Yisi. Now, concludes the Gemara, Va'adze Rava L'tamei. Rava, who we had quoted him on just before, that he said that this halacha of chatzuva and meitzar is not only for the halacha of chazakis, which everyone agrees to, or even like Ravin said regarding the two halachas that he was ma'aseh regarding Tumah and Peah. But Rava said, no, even regarding the halachas of Shabbos, it's going to separate. Says the Gemara, this is Rava according to his opinion mentioned elsewhere. Why? Because Amar Rava, Rava had said, Rishus Shabbos, Rishus Gittin Dami. The halachas of the domains for Shabbos have the same halachic criterion as it does regarding the domains that it applies to the halachas of Gittin, of a divorce documents. What does that mean? Because the Gemara Masechet Gittin in Perakas Zerikta of Ein Zayin Mabei says that if a husband gives the rights of his courtyard to his wife to use as an area to receive when he's going to go ahead and give her the get, if he throws it into the chatzar, he says, look, I'm being makin to my chatzar, so that it's like your chatzar, so it can you can use that for your receipt of the get. It doesn't have to go literally into your hand. Now, he throws the get to her to fall into his courtyard so that when it falls in there, she's automatically divorced, and it actually falls on a piece of wood that's in the courtyard. On that, the Gemara says over there, she's actually not divorced, because that piece of wood is considered a separate area, and it's not considered part of the courtyard. Now, he only acquired to her his courtyard and not the piece of wood, because generally, a person lends someone something, one area, and not two places, as the Gemara there explains over there. So that's what Rava says when he says the halachas of the Rishus of Shabbos is similar to the Rishus of Gittin, that the same thing would apply to the halachas of Shabbos, that piece of wood would be considered its own distinct area, and it would separate the domains of the streets into two separate streets if that piece of wood is divided between the two of them, where just like it's not going to be bottle this piece of wood regarding the courtyard regarding the halachas of Gittin, so too it's not going to be bottle the same thing regarding the halachas of Shabbos regarding if it's Rosh Hashanah, if you have this piece of wood in Rosh Hashanah, it would be considered separating these two sides of the street, which again, Rava holds by extension, like he said, that it's by the Chatzuva and by these Meitzer, where he says, unlike all the other opinions, even there it's going to separate the streets, whereas we see over here in regards to Rabbah and Abaye, Rava is the most mechudish in the sense of taking that even something as minimal as a pistol would separate between the two streets, so too he holds regarding this chatzuva and the meitzah that it will separate between the two streets, and therefore then, according to Rabbi Yesi, where it has to go into one Rishus HaRabim, not into two different Rishus HaRabim, then they would not combine, and then he would be exempt.